Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It is a Festivus, but not for the rest of us. It is a holiday week here. Happy holidays. You're celebrating Hanukkah. You're celebrating Kwanzaa. Certainly celebrating Christmas this week. We will be doing that around here. We got a lot of programming. We've had great radio conversations that we'll be having. There will not be a lot of great radio conversations about the Baltimore Ravens' efforts on Sunday night. Luke Jones joins me now to, I don't know, put a bow on the season, get ready for Green Bay on Saturday night, see if Lamar is going to take any more Toradol shots. And dude, what a disaster. I mean, you blow a lead at home again. I'm writing about firing John Harbaugh. Everybody's writing about firing John Harbaugh. Steve's not firing John Harbaugh, but maybe he should.
Yeah. First of all, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to
Merry
everyone.
Christmas to you. I got
This,
some eggnog cookies. I'm feeling good
yeah.
about myself right now.
And I'll say this right off the bat, and this is going to come across as a low blow, but it's not really meant to be. This football team isn't worth ruining your Christmas over. I mean, it's just not because they haven't been that team all year, right? I mean, you know, I was writing them off after the Pittsburgh loss, and to their credit, they got off the mat, beat the Bengals in Cincinnati for whatever that's worth. I mean, you're talking about a Bengals team that won on Sunday, but is what they are. They're,
Shut them out.
yeah, but they're 5-10, right?
They scored 45 points the other day, so I
No,
guess, right?
I'm giving them credit for that, but we've waited for whatever the 2025 Ravens were supposed to be. We've waited for that since the final 10 minutes of the Buffalo game in week one. So it's apropos that whatever. However you want to categorize this loss. And let's be clear, practically speaking, win or lose on Sunday night, Lamar Jackson taking a knee to the back late in the first half probably ends any practical, real hopes of whatever you were still holding out hope that the Ravens could become if they had won, you know, the last two games, if they had won in Pittsburgh in a Week 18 showdown that now feels remote at best. Of happening and getting into the playoffs, whatever that was going to be, that probably ended when Lamar takes the knee to the back. But that said, to your point, what we witnessed, blowing an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, a
Again,
defensive collapse. And I'll say this, I kind of came to this epiphany, and hopefully this makes sense. I ran it by a couple people, and they, you know, that are baseball people, and they kind of thought that it wasn't a bad analogy. Not having Derrick Henry in the game for the penultimate drive. Now, when they got into the 2 minute, I get that, right? And that only lasted two plays before Zay Flowers coughs up the
I have a
ball.
feeling I
But
know where you're going. Are you going to Zach Britton me?
yeah,
You're going to Zach Britton me, are you? I
I
knew you were going to Zach
really,
Britton me.
I really feel, and look, I think this, to me, this is meaningful, not because of who I am, but just because of the opinions I've had, right? I've been the one that has been more apt to defend run-pass ratio, even going back to the AFC Championship game a couple years ago. The nuance, right? The idea that what that team's profile was wasn't necessarily what people expected it, you know, wanted it to be in the AFC title game. I wasn't the one that was doing cartwheels over the Ravens acquiring Derrick Henry. Not that I thought Derrick Henry couldn't play anymore, but this idea that that was going to be what cures their January shortcomings. I was skeptical of that, right? I haven't been the, I've been the one that's talked over and over this year about their poor success rate running the football, despite the raw numbers, the volume numbers looking what they've been. But my goodness, Nestor, you're up 3 points in the fourth quarter after New England scores a touchdown and gets the 2-point conversion. That's what you got Derrick Henry for. And he's not even on the field. I mean, that was, and look, this isn't a Todd Monken thing. Yes, it is. It's a John Harbaugh thing. He's the head coach. He has final say. And if he's just going to sit that out right there and just let them continue to go with the rotation, and look, it was a rotation. Derrick Henry two series, then Keaton Mitchell gets a series. But if you're so rigid in your process that you can't recognize in that moment that Derrick Henry should be on the football field, what exactly is it that you do around here as the head coach? And I say that somewhat facetiously, but I would say the same of any head coach in that situation. I really feel, and to your point, only one man's going to answer this. And whether we actually get an answer or continued silence is, we're going to find out over the next month, I suppose. It's up to Steve Bisciotti, but
Bisciotti will never have a press conference again because you'll be asking him about Justin Tucker because I'll make sure you ask him about Justin Tucker. So he will never have a press conference again, Steve Bisciotti. He's afraid of people like you and me
I mean,
asking questions.
but I'll point out, Buck Showalter managed the Orioles 2 more years after he left Zach Britton in the bullpen in Toronto and let Ubaldo Jimenez give up the home run to Edwin Encarnacion. This felt a lot like that. And look, that doesn't mean John Harbaugh is going to be fired in 2 weeks, but this felt like one of
You
those
think so?
point of
So,
no
in a
return.
week of biblical passage, you find this to be a mortal sin,
I mean,
unforgivable. I just think it's repeatable that they keep blowing leads. I
I
think
mean,
that's the thing that sticks to Harbaugh. And I think the craziest
but like,
stat
these are
was the
the
Mike
things that
Tomlin
have,
stat. You saw the
yeah,
Tomlin stat, right?
I did, and I,
103-0 with a 12-point lead in the
okay,
fourth quarter.
and Mike Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in a decade. I
I
mean, like,
got it,
I
but
hear what you're
I'm
saying.
just saying if you're going to
I
compare
don't really
one to
care
the other,
about the
we're putting them
comparison to
both in
Mike
the Hall of
Tomlin,
Fame,
though.
and neither one of them have been Hall of Fame coaches in a long, long
And I think
time.
that's the key. To me, that's the key. I mean, at what point do we have to look at this thing? And look, they have a quarterback who has been hurt this year, right? This year. I will give them more grace for that in isolation for this year. But the systemic issues that they've had, where we're talking about blowing another fourth quarter lead, where we're talking about another personnel, in-game personnel question. That pops up. And hasn't always been Derrick Henry, but 2 years ago it was just not running the ball in
Dude, it was
general.
Ray Rice when Cam Cameron didn't run the
I
ball
mean,
in Jacksonville, and they ran the ball three times
I
that night
just
on
think,
Monday Night Football and lost to a woeful Jacksonville team.
and this
That
is,
was a decade ago. I mean,
and
John's a special teams coach who parades as a head coach
oh, he's
who
had, I mean,
doesn't
he's
have his hands on the
sure,
offense.
right,
He
okay.
doesn't have his hands on the offense. He doesn't. So after the game, when a play call happens the way it does, he doesn't have. He's not in the room. He doesn't have the ability to run down the sideline and say, pick a coordinator, Todd, Cam, Jim. Just go through all the names of the coordinators and go down and say, hey, should we be running here instead of passing? It just doesn't work. You know it doesn't work that way. Fans may think it works that way, but it
Oh,
doesn't
I
work that
disagree with
way.
that. Wait, so you're saying he doesn't have the authority? He's the head coach.
I don't think he'll run down the sideline and
Then
change a play. I don't think he's.
he shouldn't be the head coach then. And
I
it's
would
not
ask
apple.
you, I would ask Harbaugh, but he would lie to me because he's a serial liar. He's a serial liar. But if I ask him, how many times in how many years has it been? 18 years?
Well,
17
then
years?
that's a
What?
problem
Okay.
because no
How
one's
many
saying that he
times
takes.
has he run down and said, I don't like that play. Let's get it. Let's change that. How many times has he ever done that on offense or defense, saying, I don't like that play call. Let's play cover two. I don't, well, whatever it is, I don't think John is nearly as involved in that in the line of fire of the game as, let's say, Brian Billick was with the offense when he was the offensive coordinator, or pick any coach who ran a side of the ball,
Right.
the Minnesota guy running the offense now. Like, I just don't think John does that. I think I'd be
I agree.
shocked if there were 10 times in the history of the team that John Harbaugh's run down and wanted to change out of a play or change out of a personnel package.
Well,
I would just be shocked by that because I don't see it happening. They have the camera on him all the time. I don't see him doing anything like that.
and that's where, see, there's a difference there in talking about a specific play call. And talking about a conceptual idea
What we're
that
trying to do
Derrick
here.
Henry should be on the field on this drive. Guys, I know we've had our rotation. This is a Derrick Henry drive. He needs to be out there. It's not John calling a specific play. It's John just, frankly, having common sense and recognizing the moment in the game that no one on the coaching staff apparently had in that moment. So I,
Well, they
but I,
feel some way about him, and they feel some way about Keaton Mitchell, and they feel some way about Ali and, the injured before that, but they feel a certain way about down and distance and personnel, and they don't love Derrick Henry on the field in certain circumstances. And I don't know why that they're never going to answer that, but it's very clear this is intentional, right? This is was no accident. I mean, Collinsworth is on the broadcast saying it's Derrick Henry time, it's Derrick Henry, and then Derrick Henry doesn't show up and they lose and they blow a 2-touchdown lead. Oh my God! I mean, we
Well, I
should
mean,
be firing the coach today on the radio. We really, and I've owned this station 28 years, and I've never fired a coach ever, ever on the air, ever. Maybe Buck after the Britain thing, but I mean, I knew how bad that could be. I knew they weren't going to replace Buck with anybody nearly as good as Buck. Yeah, you know, I think they could find a better head coach than John Harbaugh right now. I do.
we'll see on that. I mean, first of all, if it
Well,
comes to
their
fruit.
coach is coaching in Seattle right now,
No, but
so.
my point is, let's. There, we can recognize the potential for needing to make a change while also recognizing that he's done a really good job for a long time, and it's not always a guarantee that you're going to hire someone as good, if not better. Now, you could say that, and then you never, ever, ever fire a coach, right? I mean, Brian Billick won a Super Bowl. They fired him, right? So Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. They fired him eventually and drafted his replacement, right? So I'll push back a little bit on the idea that they can just easily find a coach that's going to be better than him. But at the same time, there's a recognition here of where's this thing going? 2 years ago, you were hosting the AFC title game and lost, albeit you lost to the eventual Super Bowl champion that is in the was in the midst of a dynasty until this year. So I'm not saying that that in isolation is so shameful that everyone should be fired, but then you come out the next year, get off to a so-so start, cost you home field. You're going on the road in the second round, losing Buffalo. This year, you didn't get off to a so-so start. You went 1-5, 1-3, really, by before the injuries really piled up it ahead of the Houston and the LA games, but still 1-3, but 1-5. And now you're in a situation where, let's face it, nothing else needs to be said about the state of this current football team than they need help from the Cleveland Browns this coming weekend just to have, and obviously they need to win, but just to have a prayer for the playoffs in week 18. That's even if you have any confidence whatsoever that they can go into Pittsburgh and win
Well, they're going to have to
under
go into
that
Green Bay
scenario.
with their backup
And that's the
quarterback and
thing.
win.
Well, although it looks like Green Bay is probably going to be playing with their backup quarterback, or very well could be with Jordan Love in concussion protocol. But the point is, looking at the last 2 years specifically, but also seeing the theme of blown fourth quarter leads, the idea that you have a quarterback that's a two-time MVP, should have been a three-time MVP, I think, in both of our opinions. And what do they have to show for that? One AFC title game appearance, let alone talking about a Super Bowl. So you look
More
at it,
playoff losses than wins in this era.
yeah, you look at it through that lens, and you have to question what's going on here? Why hasn't this been better? Meaning better come the end of the regular season into January. And I mean, they've collapsed in December. They had their 5-game winning streak. They were back in first place. I don't want to hear at the season-ending press conference, "Oh, we started off 1-5, yada 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 yada." They bounced back from that.
You had to win 10 games and they can't.
They bounced back from that, and then they collapsed at the most important time in the season. Three of these games
At home.
at home, and they lost all three. I mean, if that's not telling, like if you're not okay, or if you're okay with that, if you're going to turn your head at what happens there, then you have lowered the bar. And I say that more specifically for Steve Bisciotti looking at this. So, I mean, again, I have no expectation until we hear from the owner, because he's the one person who makes any call about anything of that note. I'm
I hope he
unmoved.
didn't punch a hole in the owner's box last night like he
I'm
did in Kansas
unmoved about
City
the
that one night.
idea of just firing another offensive coordinator, or firing the defensive coordinator, or firing the O-line coach, or firing the pass rush coach. I'm unmoved by all that at this point, because ultimately, the buck has to stop for John with
Well, they're
John
not going to
Harbaugh on
fire the
those.
quarterback. The quarterback has a $70 million. They're going to come back and play with him next year. No matter who the coach is, I mean, he's more powerful than the coach at this point. So
Yeah, I
they're
mean,
married to the quarterback. They're not married to the coach. And there's certainly Monken's going to get fired over this, right? Like, there's no question about that. That the only way John can keep his job, and this is part of, this is for all the people out there that don't know corporate America. This is how you
Yeah.
keep your job. You fire the guy underneath you and blame it on him
Even though
and
you're in
say,
charge of that guy. Yeah. I mean,
right. And
that's where I go
that's
back.
what's going to happen. I mean, Monken's fired. Zach Orr will not be a defensive coordinator of this team next year. So the only way John will be able, because John's like a son to Steve. This isn't going to get blamed on John. John's going to go in and say, I don't know what Todd was doing. We got to get rid of him.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I look at that and I just scratch my head because it's just like,
Well,
I
what are
mean,
the outcomes here then? I mean, pretend these two games don't happen. You and I are going to do this for 8 months, right? We're going to do it for 6 weeks, like in January into February. Who's going to be the coach? Who's going to be the OC? Who's going to be the DC? I know who the quarterback's going to be. And unless Steve is selling the team to the Saudi Arabians here, and we'll have, some sheik here owning the team that the NFL lets in because he's got money. We'll have the live tour here from the NFL if we won't play our home games in Riyadh. Literally, Bisciotti and Lamar, Kyle Hamilton. I don't know. I don't know who else is absolutely guaranteed to be on this team when they kick off on opening Sunday against the Browns on September the 12th of 2026 or whatever it's going to be. Like, I'm wondering where the changes come because you and I have been doing this a long time, other than 15, maybe 17, when they decided to draft Lamar in that offseason. We haven't had a lot of off seasons here where the thing goes boom boom before Christmas, before Santa comes down the chimney. And that's a tribute to Harbaugh. It's a tribute to DaCosta and the players that they've put on the field. But as we sit here this year, where the expectations were through the roof, where Mahomes went away, where the Bills weren't very good, where all these things went wrong, where things went wrong for them, and they got up off the carpet and they've blown another double digit lead. Dude, if I would have told you on Friday they're going to blow another double digit lead on Sunday night and park Derrick Henry's ass and not run him, and the ball's going to go over their head and they're going to lose the game, we're going to have to sit here on Monday morning and talk about this. I would tell you that given the stadium emptying out five times this year, they lost six home games this year. Like, if I own the team and I love John Harbaugh like a son, I would say, it might be time. It might be one of those, we won. It was great, but we haven't won anything here in 12 years. And you've had the best player on earth, and you've had a Hall of Fame running back that you've parked weirdly several times. The whole running thing in Harbaugh, this goes back to Cam Cameron. It goes back a decade of like, and that's why I said, I don't think he runs down and says, I don't like this. I just don't think he's as involved in the offense as the media and the fans would like to believe. I don't see signs of that. I really don't. I've never seen signs that John's over huddling with quarterbacks and OCs and getting his fingers into the mud of it's third and whatever. What are we going to do here? And obviously, if you're a good coach, you work that out during the week. You've prepared for all of that. But it never feels that way. It never feels like they sit around on Saturday and scrimmage out. All right, 12-point lead, 8 minutes left to go in the game. What are we gonna, we're not gonna have Derek. We're gonna have Derek on the field, right, Todd? Right? That's
Right,
good.
and that's really where it is. It's not a play-by-play call kind of thing, right? Because there is, it's chaotic. You only have so much time in between each play. But from the moment that Drake May throws the touch, throws the 37-yard touchdown to Williams, they get the 2-point conversion. I mean, you have a media timeout right there, right? That's where it should be as simple as, where are we in the rotation? This is a Derrick Henry drive. We got to get Derrick on the field. I love Keaton, but this is Derrick Henry time. This is why we have Derrick Henry, especially. And this is where, we failed to mention this. You didn't have Derrick Henry on the field in that situation, and that's on top of your franchise quarterback not being on the field. I mean, it's unforgivable. It really is. It feels like Buck Showalter leaving Zach Britton in the bullpen. And look, that was a playoff game. This team, whether they even won on Sunday night, whether they were going to, still have a,
Winnable game. You get a
oh,
double digit lead
of
at home in
course,
the fourth quarter.
I mean, even with Lamar getting hurt, I mean, Tyler Huntley played well enough not that they were asking him to do a ton, but he played well enough that they had a 2-score lead in the fourth quarter. I mean, I don't know how many times we can keep looking at this and not have serious questions about more drastic change than we've talked about here, other than just the coordinator. Because
Well, they're not
again,
changing the quarterback, and the offensive line's not miraculously getting better in the offseason. They have issues with Linderbaum. They're going to have to move on from Stanley. I mean, I know they gave him money. Yeah, all of that. The defensive line, they gave the money to Jones. They've given the money to Andrews. They've committed to who they've committed to. And Harbaugh's got, what, $60, $80 million he'd be owed by Bisciotti if he fired him. So there's some leverage there that, I don't know, he didn't mind giving Bill like $20 million 15 years ago. So I don't know. But, and, Harbaugh goes and takes a job with whomever, the Giants, then the money would offset anyway, and it wouldn't cost Steve any money. So I if the feeling is you want to move on, but Steve feels about John like a son. I don't, as much as we'll beat John up today, I don't know that John would be fired, but John should be held accountable. John
and
should be
that's the
held
big
accountable for a lot of things that John's not held accountable for.
and that's the I mean that's what I look at this. Look, first of all, just personally speaking, I'm not someone that's terribly comfortable with just fire this person, fire the, you know what I mean? Like,
Because we've never said
I
that on
don't
the
say
air in
those
20
things
years, because we don't
lightly.
talk like that around
I
here.
don't, even talking about players being released, I don't say that lightly. I try, I'm not, and I definitely fail in doing this, but I try to be sensitive, understanding there's livelihood at stake, especially when you're talking about, guys in training camp getting cut, never gonna play football again, never made any money in the end.
We're calling somebody washed up, which
But
I don't do very often.
I don't know how you don't look at what transpired on top of all the other examples of blown fourth quarter leads or questionable personnel decisions in game, things of that nature, and not look at this thing and really have some severe questions about where this is and where it's going. And that's just whether that means you ultimately are keeping the head coach or not, I don't know how you don't have some very difficult, uncomfortable conversations, because that was unacceptable on Sunday night. And you're talking about a team that had won 5 in a row to get back to 6-5. They were in first place in the AFC North. They had the Bengals and the Steelers back to back home, a Thursday night game for an AFC North division opponent, which historically has meant a loss almost over and over and over when you're talking about the history of the AFC North. You then had extra rest to prepare for your biggest rival in the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town, and their quarterback wasn't 100%, right? With the wrist and how they looked left for dead, and everyone was talking about Mike Tomlin's future, and you lost both of those games. And then, to their credit, they got back off the mat. We said it last week. They got the arrow pointed in the right direction again after what happened the previous 2 weeks. They did win in Cincinnati. We gave them their due credit for that, while also acknowledging the Bengals were 4-10. Let's not get carried away here. And then they come home. The NFL flexed them to Sunday Night Football. New England was, granted, Drake May is a heck of a player. New England was banged up to all heck. I mean, going into the game, they had guys banged up. They lost a half dozen guys, it felt like, due to injury. They
Well, you
lost their
had the game
explosive
won.
running
You
back,
had a lead in the
and they
fourth
had a
quarter.
2-score lead in the fourth quarter. So you can't. I mean, if you just, and I
I mean,
don't
the
think
fact
many.
that Marlon Humphrey got away with that pass interference at the 5-yard line
Yeah, I
was,
mean,
he tackled the guy,
sure.
literally tackled him and brought him down to the, and he almost caught the ball, and there was no flag. So anybody out there that, I mean, they were given a license to win the game on Sunday. They were given a fourth strike. They were given a fourth out. They
I
were
mean, they
given an
were winning
extra
the game.
inning.
They looked at, they ran all over them. I mean, Derrick Henry was having a great game, but the offensive line was having one of its better games. I mean, look at the razzle dazzle play to Zay Flowers. I mean, that look how well they blocked that up when he scores the touchdown there. So it's not as though the offense was inept from the moment Lamar Jackson left the game. Far from it. I'm not saying it was perfect. I mean, heck, the offense hasn't been very good with Lamar Jackson over the last month and a half. But I just look at that, and it's one of those games where you just say, you can't lose that game when you're in that position. And they did. And they did it without their best remaining player on offense standing on the sideline for that penultimate drive. The last drive, they're in 2 minute at that point. I wasn't expecting to see Derrick Henry there because they had to throw the football. And then we bring up the problem of Zay Flowers fumbling again. As much as you love his playmaking ability, he's got a serious ball security issue. It fumbled a couple times earlier in the season. We know what happened against Kansas City 2 years ago. So,
Well,
but
Derrick Henry also.
yeah, Derrick Henry. I mean, what the heck was Mark Andrews doing at the end of the first half? These are your stars, and they do things like this. That's not indicative of a great winning culture of a football team. That's more of what we've talked about, how this team seems to come up smallest at the absolute biggest moments, right? I mean, it's just, and I keep coming back to who's most responsible for that. And look, let me be clear, because I detest the mindset of that you see it with a lot of fan culture, not Baltimore, everywhere. The idea that when you lose, you just blame the coach or you just blame the manager. And when you win, all the players get the credit. No, the players have to be accountable here too. I mean, and you and I have talked a lot about this 2025 team, the number of guys that you could name that have been definitively better in 2025 than they were in previous years. It's only a couple guys you can name that you would say are having great, truly great years, right? The punter being one of them, which isn't really a great sign for your offense, right? But I just look at this thing and that was awful on Sunday night. That was awful. That fourth quarter collapse was horrendous. And I'm sorry, it begins with John Harbaugh. It has to start at the top there. And to your point, I'm not holding my breath per se, and I will continue to assume Steve Bisciotti doesn't have the appetite to make drastic changes to that degree.
Well, that would
But
mean he'd have to have a press conference. He'll never do that. But
I mean, how you're not having the most uncomfortable conversations you've had with your head coach with that, after that, I mean, it's just not good. It's just that wasn't good enough. That was below the bar, to use John Harbaugh's own terminology. That was below the bar as a head coach. And again, I'm with you wholeheartedly in terms of you're not going to overrule a play call in the midst of a play clock, play to play, going from first to second down, second to third down. But from the moment New England made that a 3-point game, right there, someone, John Harbaugh, Todd Monken, so anyone on the offensive coaching staff has to be looking at that and saying, no, yeah, we get it. This is
Pete Mitchell should be saying, what am I doing in here? You sure you don't want the big guy?
sure. I mean, I would think Keaton Mitchell probably wouldn't admit it because guys are competitors and they
Anthony
want the
Mitchell
ball.
would because he won a Super Bowl.
No, but I'm sure he was probably thinking in his head, it's like, I'm kind of surprised they're not going to Derek here. I mean, I don't think, he wouldn't admit that, and he's not going to throw his coaches under the bus. And on the same thing, I mean, Derrick Henry handled the questions well in the post-game locker room, but you're telling me Derrick Henry wasn't thinking to himself as he's standing on the sideline to start that drive. And first of all, they come out throwing a pass to Rashad Bateman, who's done next to nothing all year long, and you throw a first down pass, and then you get into trying to run on second down. And to their credit, they did convert on third down to Hopkins. It was a huge conversion there. And then you had a chance to bring Derrick Henry in right there. And they still didn't do it. And it's just, you know me, again, I have not been the guy that sits here and says, oh, well, if you run Derrick Henry 25 times, you're under, like the way that we cite records, when
He
this team
has to
runs,
touch the ball.
yeah,
You're
which is
right. Yeah.
because we understand in reality, winning is what prompts running the ball more and more and more. But that said, you were
But if
winning
we were
the
lucky
ball
enough to
game
have a
there.
two-score lead at home on a cold night against the Patriots on Sunday Night Football with the season on the line and our backup quarterback in there,
Yeah.
let's throw the ball to Rashad Bateman, right? Like, come on,
Mean, it
dude.
makes my head hurt. It really does. And that's where the accountability has to stop with John Harbaugh there. And yes, to be clear, that's not to absolve Todd Monken. Of course he gets blamed too. But his boss needs to get the most blame there. And I just look at that and I'm just, how does that happen with an 18th year head coach? My
I'm not.
clone just wrote that stability has become a sedative. You want to work with that? That's
I mean,
stability has become a sedative. That's what my clone
maybe.
just wrote.
Well, I mean, and look, it's been a lot of talk of that in Pittsburgh for a long time now, and we're talking about it here in Baltimore. And look, let's be clear. This isn't just about Sunday night, but it isn't just about Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't the first time something like this has happened. It's just the latest time it's happened. And, you know, you kind of look at to bring it back to a little bit to the macro, to the micro, but you look at the course of the 2025 season. I mean, Nestor, this game on Sunday night was such a microcosm of the whole season, wasn't it? I mean, you get the Derrick Henry fumble early. And I'll give you this, and this just shows how little I know and how big of an idiot I am. Literally about 10 seconds before Derrick Henry fumbled the ball there as they're driving, I leaned to the person next to me in the press box and said, "Man, this has been a butt whooping so far." I said so far. I wasn't saying it was over, but my gosh, over the first couple drives, the Raven that looked kind of like the 2024 and 2023 and
The
2019
Patriots looked like they
Ravens.
had a rookie quarterback
Yeah,
early in
I
the
mean,
game.
like, and the Ravens were taking it to him, but from the moment Derrick Henry fumbles, and let's be clear, just because he fumbled in the first half has no bearing on him not coming into the game in the drive we're calling for him to come into the game, because Keaton Mitchell could have easily fumbled, you know, in that spot too, right? I mean, like, but that turned, and that reminded you a little bit of early in the season when Derrick Henry fumbles in Buffalo, how he fumbled against Detroit, right? And I mean, that was a pivotal play in those two losses. I mean, that was part of it. I mean, you know, nothing against Derrick Henry, but he absolutely, and he would be the first to tell you that. That was a big reason why they
You
lost
fumble the
those
ball in a
games.
close game, it's always good, you
So
know.
you have that happen. You have Lamar get hurt as he got hurt early in the season. I mean, you just go down the list of everything. You know, you had the collapse. I mean, what they're those were their only two appearances on Sunday Night Football, right? Buffalo and then last, you know, Sunday night, you know, against New England, and you lose, you know, you blow a double digit lead in the fourth quarter of each of those appearances. I mean, it's just,
And you wind up doing it with everything Chris Collinsworth tells you to do that you don't do. You know,
yeah.
running the ball. Like, the announcer means everything to people sitting at home and saying, well, that makes sense. That makes sense. And then they're sitting there and they lose. And then the world blows up afterwards. So, Luke's here. We're going to continue to talk about the Ravens who were headed off to Green Bay and toward all shots for Lamar and a long off season if things don't go well here this weekend and they don't get the Cleveland miracle, the Christmas story miracle they're going to need from Ralphie in Cleveland here this week with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and not to mention their own miracles at Lambeau Field this week. We will be at Planet Fitness on Monday, and then we're shutting it down for the holiday, for Santa, for the week. Hope everybody's had a the most wonderful time of the year. It's been Christmas. I've been with friends all week. I had the greatest show at Gertrude's on Friday. We had a great time at Costas on Thursday. You'll be hearing all that throughout the holidays because I'm not here. I'm not built to sit here and fire John Harbaugh 24 hours a day at WNST. But Luke's writing. I'm writing. It'll all be up at Baltimore Positive. We're going to come back, continue to talk some football around here. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive and Santa Claus and I don't know, get some eggnog, feel better about yourself, have a roast.